Who among us is disabled? A number of years ago, I injured my back and couldn't walk more than 10 feet without having to sit down and relieve the pain. I borrowed a wheelchair and took it home with me. I figured it would be easy to scoot around in my house and get to anything I wanted to get to. I knew that some of the doors were narrow, and I figured that as long as I didn't mind taking a little skin off the back of my hands each time I went through one, it would be okay. I wasn't really wheelchair-bound. I could stand up for a few seconds and grab the chocolate I needed, or anything else. But what about the people who couldn't? I remember sitting down in the wheelchair in my living room and heading for the narrow passageway to the kitchen. Forget the passageway. It could have been 12 feet wide, and it wouldn't have mattered a bit. It's always those little unthought-of things that trip people up. I'm sure that people who've been here before already know what was going to happen. Never, ever, ever put plush carpets in your house when you're going to be using a manual wheelchair. It was like driving through thick mud with a little glue mixed in. I never got to the kitchen, at least not in the wheelchair. Fortunately, my desire for food was a lot stronger than the pain caused by my back, which only got worse as I struggled to turn those muddy wheels. Just for the record, I didn't starve, but the experience gave me pause and made me think. Isn't it the little everyday things, which a lot of us don't even think about, that can cause no end of problems? A few months after I returned my wheelchair, I had occasion to talk to another person who was blind about his daily routine of going to lunch on his own at a very crowded cafeteria in his office. I wanted to know how he did all the little things, like knowing what was on the menu, how he found the line and managed to stay in it, even though it sometimes curved around like a snake. How he was able to find the table while carrying a tray without cracking somebody on the head with it as he looked for an empty chair, and so on. His answer was one I will always remember. He said that this was something that he could definitely do, but he said he didn't go much anymore. He said that by the time he spent all that time dealing with the disability issues I had raised, he didn't have much strength or patience left to carry on a meaningful conversation with the people sitting at his table. And it's the same way, I think, with electronic access. At the Trace Research and Development Center, a part of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, where I used to work and with whom I still consult, we design systems for making computer technology like Windows XP, Windows Vista, Windows 7, the Internet, kiosks, cell phones, etc., accessible to all persons, including those who are disabled. Now, those are very important questions, but we need to make sure we don't lose sight of the greater problem. If I have to spend the majority of my time in a struggle just to do the everyday things that need to be done in order to live each day, I may not have enough strength or mental capacity left to care about accessing a mobile phone, a computer, or anything else. If I have to spend 5 times as long as my sighted colleagues looking for something on an inaccessible web page, I won't be much help with the project that you and I are working on. I will likely miss some important point you made, or seem quite disinterested in it, even if I happen to hear it. I'm just too busy using my brain to overcome the barriers of inaccessibility. If I have to be totally focused on finding my way, I probably won't carry on a very good conversation with you as we walk. Of course, I could get sighted help. Someone who could see could make it much easier for me to go through the cafeteria line, or to find the important things I need to know on that inaccessible website. I believe, when you really come down to it, that we all need the help of other people, and I'm not just talking about people who are blind. There are some things we just don't do very well, no matter how competent we are in other areas. To put it more bluntly, we're all disabled when it comes to doing certain things. For example, if it costs a fortune for me to go somewhere by cab, and if the bus doesn't go there, I will often ask any number of my friends if they can give me a ride. After all, as one of them said, it's a whole lot safer than having you drive my car. I used to feel sad when I had to ask people to go out of their way to give me a hand, but I came to realize that people often ask me to do things for them as well. On one occasion, for example, a good friend of mine asked me to come over to her house and help her connect her new CD player to her stereo system. It was one of those giant stereo cabinets that seemingly had room for a bicycle, her snowblower, and her 3 children. Lost someplace in the bowels of this monstrosity was her stereo system. Her problem was that her stereo components were jammed tightly into one corner of this beast, and to put her CD player in place meant that she had to take out her turntable, FM tuner, cassette recorder, video recorder, a bicycle, her snowblower, not to mention all her records, videos, audio cassettes, and at least two of the children, in order to get to the place the cord from the CD player needed to go. Or, now here's a bright idea. She could call up her blind friend who not only knew a lot about sound systems, but, because he didn't need to see, he just might be able to reach through the little hole in the side of the beast, near the back, work his hand around several turns without dropping the cord, and plug it into the correct jack. It took me less than 1 minute to complete the job. 36 seconds by her count. Several weeks later, that same friend's dad died unexpectedly. She and her dad had been very close, and she was quite depressed. She called and asked if I would mind talking with her about her inability to get beyond his death. Several hours later, and the number of miles of road beneath us, she said that she felt much better. She reminded me of the day I came to connect her stereo. "And now," she said, "you're back again, picking up the pieces. I'm sorry to be such a bother." "Bother?" I said. "If it's a bother to help you out twice within a couple weeks, then what do you call all those times I've asked you for a ride?" "Oh, that's not a bother," she said. "That's just something you do for a..." She never finished her sentence. She didn't have to. We're all dependent on each other for certain things. I can't drive, but I'm very good with computers. I need a ride. You need to access your hard drive that suddenly crashed. It all works out in the end. There's no need to keep score. How would you do it anyway? How many miles do we trade for your ability to access your hard drive? Can you ever repay someone for caring enough about you to help you through a hard time? Perhaps repay is the wrong word. Perhaps it's more like friendship. It's friends helping friends do the little things in life that, if done with a smile, can go a very long way to bring about peace and respect for the people in our little corner of the world.